2 Kings chapter 7, look if you would, starting at verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. It says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go in unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of great host, of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled into the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again for these folks being able to come to church today, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to preach to empty seats anymore. Lord, I'm just thankful to be able to see these folks and spend time with them. But Lord, it's more important that you speak to them today, Lord, and you speak to our hearts. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would protect us from anything that would take away from the message, Lord, or any distractions. I pray that you'll preach through me your word, Lord, and preach it in spite of me, Father, and reach the hearts of these people with your word. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's somebody who's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'll be saved today, that they'll call upon you for the very first time for forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I pray also this morning, Lord, that everyone listening, Father, I just pray that you'll just speak to their hearts, Lord, through your word. And Lord, if there's something they need to take care of this morning, Lord, I pray that they'll do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're in a habit of underlining things in your Bible, I want you to underline the phrase that you find back in verse 9. And it's just four little words. Now, those four little words are, "We do not well." We do not well. Now, when we pick up our text here and we look at what's going on in the context, you'll see that the nation of Israel here is facing an extreme starvation. And that starvation was a result of Israel being under siege by Ben-Hadad, who was the king of the Syrians. And back in chapter 6, you'll read that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had taken his army and had laid siege to the children of Israel there in Samaria. Ben-Hadad, as we learned last Sunday, for those that were watching it, had twice already attacked Israel. Once him and his army, and plus 32 other armies that were with him, massive army, had attacked Israel in the mountains. And then they were defeated in those mountains. And so they went back to Syria. And then while they were there, some of the people, the war generals got together and said, "Ben-Hadad, the only reason that they got the victory in the mountains is because the gods that they serve are not powerful in the valleys. We'll defeat them in the valleys." And so Ben-Hadad listened to that, and he agreed with his generals. So he gathered up another massive army and went after Israel, this time not in the mountains but in the valleys. And when he faced Israel in the valleys this time, God again delivered Israel from the Syrians, and the Syrians were beaten battle a second time. Now, what that's teaching you is this, folks, is there are mountains and valleys in our life. Amen? There are good times and there are bad times. When we're on the mountain, those are good times. We're up on top of things. We're up high. We're enjoying life and everything's going good. But then there are times in life when we go through the valleys, when things are not going right, when we're not well, when we're sick, when we're going through bad times. Those are the valleys. And every one of us have mountains and valleys, and it's been like that your entire life. Even before you were saved, you had mountains and valleys. But now that you're saved, you have a God, that you have God that's fighting for you, and God is with you, and He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's neither in the mountains or in the valleys. What I'm trying to say is that God is the God of the mountains, but He's also the God in the valley. You always have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? And so we need to remember that. But Ben-Hadad here, he had just been defeated by Israel twice. So now he really wants to destroy Israel really bad. So now what he does is he comes up to the city of Samaria and he besieges that city. He takes his army and completely cuts off any food supply that would possibly come into it. And he has a mighty army to where they could not defend against them out in battle. But what they could do is they could stay within the walls of the city, and basically Ben-Hadad and his army is sitting back there, and they're basically just waiting for these people to either give up or die because they're starving to death. And so at no other point in history has Israel ever endured such a famine as this. It was so bad of a famine, according to chapter 6, that in some place in the city they were selling the head of a donkey for 80 shekels of silver. By the way, by law, they couldn't even eat a donkey, but they were selling the head of it for 80 shekels of silver. It was so bad that a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was being sold for 5 shekels of silver. Now, can you imagine sitting down at the supper table and saying, Mom, what's for supper? And it's so bad that she says, we've got this donkey's head here, and then we've also got a side of dove's dung. How bad does it have to be? It was that bad. It was actually worse. Because when you read back in chapter 6, you'll also find out that there was cannibalism going on within the walls of that city. I would say that's a desperate situation. I mean, these people were starving. These people were suffering. And it didn't matter if those people in that city were rich. It didn't matter if they were poor. If one were blind, if one could see, it didn't matter. Both of them were starving to death. If one was healthy and one was sick, it doesn't matter. They both were starving. Everybody in that city was facing death. And then in our text, we're told that during this horrible famine within the city, there were 4 lepers who were outside the city. Because these lepers, the reason they were outside the city is because they were not allowed to be in the city amongst the people. They were lepers. In fact, by the law, they had to be placed outside the city, and they had to walk around and say, unclean, unclean, until the priest deemed that they were clean from leprosy. And so if these people were lepers, they were not allowed to be amongst the people in that city, so they were forced out of the city. And you know, if you think about it, really these 4 lepers were probably in worse condition than those people in the city were. Because these lepers, even though they were not in the city, they didn't have anything else to eat either. They had nothing. And not only that, but they didn't have a roof over their head to protect them from the elements. They didn't have a wall in front of them that would protect them from the Syrians. If the Syrians decided to advance upon them, they would be dead meat. They had nothing. They had no protection whatsoever. So in many ways, they were worse shaped than those people in the city. And they were desperate, and death was staring them in the face. And they were desperate because of the lack of protection. They were desperate because they were lepers. And so these 4 lepers men began to talk amongst themselves, and they recognized that they were in bad shape. They recognized that they were facing death. And so what they decided to do, they got together, and they started talking amongst themselves. And they said this in verses 3 and 4. They said, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." What they were saying was this. They're saying, look, we're going to die either way. I mean, so why don't we just go over to the Syrians? Even though we're the enemy of the Syrians, we're Israelites that just have leprosy, We're enemies. I mean, Ben Hadad hates us as bad as he does, hates those people in the city. But he's saying this, why don't we just go over to the Syrians and ask them to have mercy upon us, and maybe they will. Maybe Ben Hadad will look at us and have mercy on us. And if they do, if he does, then we're for the better. But if he doesn't have mercy on us and he kills us, we're going to die anyway. That's their thinking on this thing. So they decided that they would go to the Syrians and ask for mercy. And when they got there, the camp of the Syrians was deserted, though. The whole Syrian army had fled. I can't imagine how shocked that they were when they came in there. They were probably expecting a couple of Syrian soldiers to come out to meet them. Nothing. They did get a little bit closer, and they're looking around. They're expecting, surely the chariots would come out now and strike them down. Nothing. Then they come into the camp, and it's completely deserted. Completely deserted. The Syrian army had fled. Now, the reason that the Syrian army had fled is because in verses 6 and 7, it says, "For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." The Lord had made this army of the Syrians to hear noises of a massive army that no one could see. And they heard the noises of chariots and horses, and even the noises of a great host. And so when the Syrians heard this, they got spooked and they left everything behind, and they hightailed it out of there. I mean, they left their animals behind. They left their tents behind. They left their spoils behind. They left their food behind. I mean, they were so scared that they just took basically what they had on their backs and got out of there. How many of you have ever been so scared that you just wanted to run and you didn't care about what you left there? It's time to get out of town. You ever been that scared before? I remember this. When I was young, if I was walking in my house and there was a dark room or a dark downstairs, because we lived kind of down in the basement, and when you walk down the steps, you had to come around, and then you make a kind of like a U, and then you end up to our room. Well, I knew the house very well. I mean, obviously, I grew up there my entire life. And so when I come down, I wouldn't even turn the lights on. I mean, I could walk in there totally dark. Well, my brother knew that, and him being an older brother, he took advantage of such things. And so what he did is he would hide somewhere in that dark room. And as I was walking in that dark room to my room, he would never yell out at me. He'd never say boo. You know what he'd do? He'd just start running right at me. Now, I'm one of those people that if I'm walking and I hear somebody start running behind me, I'm not one of those people who's going to turn around and say, "Hey, what are you running at? What are you running from?" I'm not that guy. If I hear somebody running behind me, I fear he's got a good reason to run. So I'm going to run too. Amen? Now, that's just the way I feel. So my brother knew that. And so what did he do? Well, he took advantage of that. And he'd start running. And I mean, I'd start running too. And then all of a sudden I go clobbered into a wall. My brother's sitting there laughing and everything else. May I tell you that when that happened, it didn't matter what I had with me. I was willing to leave it behind to get out of there. That's the same way these Syrians were. You see, these Syrians were, they were there in their army, and they had all their horses and chariots, and all of a sudden they hear the sound of chariots and a sound of army and a great host, and they hear these things. And the first thing they start thinking is wait a second. The king of Israel's inside that city. It can't be his army. He must have hired the Hittites and the Egyptian army. And those two armies together are bigger than us. It's time for us to get out of town. And they got so scared that they left their tents, and they left their food, and they left their gold, and they left their silver, and they even left some raiment, nice raiment, garments there, left it all. And they're saying, listen, we don't care about the stuff, we're out of here. So the lepers, when they come in, that's what they see. They see empty tents. You know, Proverbs 28:1 says this. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And so that's kind of what happened with the Syrian army. And so here the army of the Syrians flee. And verse 8 says, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it." So these lepers, what they did is they feasted on the food that was left behind for the Syrians. And they saw the nice looking clothes and they saw the silver and the gold. Certainly these four lepers had never seen anything of these sorts, let alone possess any of them. The Bible says that they went out of the tent and they found a safe place. And they hid that gold and they hid that silver and the garments, raiment that they had acquired. And they figured they'd come back later and they'd get it. And then we're told that they went into the second tent and they found more gold and silver and raiment. And they went and hid it as well. And what they was doing, they were hiding it because they didn't want anybody else to find it. It was their, it was now theirs, and they knew that. These lepers did not want anybody to know about their treasure. They didn't want anyone finding this treasure because now this treasure was now theirs. These four lepers had once been hungry, but now these four lepers, their bellies were full. They had once had the rags that they were wearing on their body, but now they had these new garments and this good raiment. They had once been very poor, but now they had gold and they had silver. Their entire lives changed. And it changed once they discovered the camp that God had prepared for them. Keep this in mind, folks. It was God who made the Syrians run. It was because of God that this camp was there. It was because of God that they had food to eat in those camps. It was because of God that they had the silver and the gold. It was because of God because they had the raiment. And when these people, when these four lepers discovered what God had given them by making the Syrian army run, at that point their lives were changed. The moment these lepers saw that those tents and the things that were left in those tents, they knew that it was God who gave the victory. They knew that there was no other army out there. They knew it had to be God. Because no army was able to run off the Syrian army, it had to be God. And though the four lepers did not know the details of what happened, they knew for sure that there had been a miracle that took place. But then, according to verse 9, these four lepers began to be convicted. You see, they had taken that gold and the silver inside that tent, the first tent, and they went and hid it. And then they went to another tent and they grabbed the gold and the silver and raiment and they took it out there and they went and hid it, a safe place where nobody could find it. And they're sitting there saying, "Okay, now it's all ours. We'll be able to come back to this and get it anytime we want to." But then they started feeling bad. And listen to what they say in verse 9. It says, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" These leprous men had suddenly acquired great gain by the goodness of God. And yet, they said, "We do not well. We do not well." Now, this story reminds us of some things that we sometimes do as Christians that I will just tell you that are not well for us to do. There are some things that we just do not well. And may I say the first of all this morning that we do not well when we forget who we were before God saved us. We do not well as Christians to forget who we were before God saved us. Now, we are a forgetful people. Not just Christians, everybody. As you well know, we all remember the towers when they fell in New York. We all remember that, when they bombed the towers. But you know, we've done a lot of forgetting since then. There are a lot of things today that we're allowing and we're even encouraging that shows that we are a forgetful people. May I also tell you that during that time that the towers were bombed, that church attendance raised almost 20% across this country. But since then, things went back the way they were. We're a forgetful people. Folks, may I tell you that God has blessed this country for a long time. But yet we forget about that. We take a lot of things for granted that God has done for us. And sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, we get so wrapped up in the things that's going on around us and the things that we enjoy doing and the things that God has blessed us with. And we as Christians, we get so wrapped up in those things that sometimes we forget where we began. We forget where it was that God brought us from. These leprous men said, "We have been saved from certain death, and we do not well to be silent about it. We have discovered that God has provided a way of life for us, and we do not well to sit here and let those people in the city perish." The reality of the matter really was that they were so overwhelmed with where they were. They were so overwhelmed of being, at one moment here they were starving, and they had raggedy clothes, and they didn't have a dime up between them. And now they were so overwhelmed because they come into these tents and they see gold and they see silver and they see garments and they see all the food that they could eat. And they're so overwhelmed about it that all they thought was, hey, let's just take this and bury it and we can come back to it later. They weren't thinking about anybody else. They were thinking about themselves. And they had forgotten where they come from. They had forgotten how it was just 10 minutes sooner or 10 minutes before that. They were so blessed by their condition that they forgot what it was like in their former condition. And as Christians, we should never forget where God delivered us from. Now turn, if you would, over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 8, tell you what's going on there. God is giving Israel instructions before they enter into the promised land. The promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of great blessing. It was a land that God had chosen for them and promised to them. But God warns the children of Israel that when they entered into the promised land, to not forget where they come from. To not forget where they come from. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, look if you would at verse 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full," that sounds like the lepers. "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied." Again, sounds like the lepers. "And all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God," watch it, "which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end." What God is doing here, he's warning them, and he's saying this. He's saying, when you get into the land of milk and honey, your wealth is going to increase. Everything that you have is going to increase. Your gold and your silver is going to increase. You're going to have tons to eat, plenty to fill your bellies with. And he's saying this, that when you get into that land of promise, when you get into that promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey, don't you forget where you were before you got in here. And don't you forget who it was that got you where you are. He's saying, listen, I'm the one who delivered you through that wilderness. I'm the one who fed you the manna from heaven. I'm the one who parted the Red Sea. And when you get here in this land of promise, when everything is going good, when your wealth is increased and everything is going good for you, don't you forget where you come from and who delivered you. That's what he warned him to do. And may I tell you something, folks? If we as Christians, if we forget who we were before God saved us, And may I tell you, everybody, I'll tell you who you were. You were the same as me. Before you were saved, you were a person without hope. You were a person who was dead in your sins. You were a person on the road to hell. You were absolutely without hope at all. That's where you were. But God saved you from that. And may I tell you, sometimes we take that for granted. Sometimes we forget who we were before we got saved. You know what I see? I see Christians a lot of times, they'll look at lost people, and they'll look at lost people doing lost people things. Listen, lost people do not know, they cannot discern the scriptures. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God within them. Now listen, I'm not giving them a quarter, but what I am saying is this: lost people are going to do what lost people do. And when I see Christians looking at lost people saying, I cannot believe they did that. You'll never see me do that. You know who they are? They're who you once were. They're people without hope. That was you. There were people that who did not have everlasting life. That was you before you got saved. And I'll tell you something, folks. We need to remember not only where we were before God saved us, but we need to remember what God did for us to deliver us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. You want to know why preachers preach the cross so much, even to Christians on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights? Because we're a forgetful people. We start to think, you know, when things are going so good for us, when we've got the blessings that we have in this country and all the things that God has given to us as Christians, sometimes we forget where we come from. We forget those things. And we ought never to forget those things. David said this in Psalm 40, verse 2. He said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. David was saying, I remember the way things were before. And I remember being in a horrible pit that God delivered me from. And I remember being in that miry clay. I remember those things. But he's saying, you know, the Lord delivered me from those things and He set me upon a rock. May I tell you this morning, folks, I can say the same thing. At one time I was in the miry clay. At one time I was in a pit. At one time I was without hope. But God saved my soul. And if you're saved here today, you can say the same thing. Don't ever forget where you were. David didn't forget where he was. He understood perfectly where he used to be. And if you're one of those people today that have forgotten where you come from, I'm just going to tell you, you do not well. You do not well. And then the second thing that we learn is that we also learn we do not well when we do not share the good news that we have with others. Here are four lepers, and they have eaten till they are absolutely full. And they've gathered the gold and the silver twice. They gathered the garments twice. And they've hid their stash somewhere where no one could ever find it. Yet they come to a place to where they said to themselves, we just can't do this. This is just not right. There's food here, and there's gold here, and there's silver here, and there's garments here. And those people in that city, they're still starving. The people in that city, they're perishing. Now keep in mind that the people back in the city at this point had no idea at all that the Syrian army had fled. They're still in the city. They still think that, hey, if we try to go out, they're going to kill us. If we try to go out and bring in food for people to eat, we're going to die. So we're going to stay behind the walls of the city. They had no idea that God had provided a way of deliverance for them in that city. They had no idea about it. But those four lepers knew. Those four lepers knew that. The people in the city, they had no idea that God had provided for their freedom. But those four lepers knew that. The enemy was gone, but they didn't know it. They had the freedom to leave the city, but they didn't know it. They had food waiting on them, but they didn't know it. They had garments waiting on them, but they didn't know it. It was all there for those people back in the city, but they didn't even know anything about it. Those people back in the city were destitute and without hope. They had no clue that God had provided for their deliverance. Do you know what the word gospel means? It means good news or good tidings. Would you agree with me this morning that the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, would you agree with me this morning that's good news? Well, I'll tell you how good a news it is, because if, listen, when you, before you were saved, you were responsible to pay the wages for your sins. But Jesus Christ came and paid them for you. That may not mean a whole lot to you now, but I tell you what, one of these days when you're up in heaven and you're able to see the lake of fire and you're able to see those people being thrown into the lake of fire, on that day, you're going to be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross, if you're not thankful now. I'm pretty sure we're all thankful right now. Amen? It's called the good news. I can't imagine what better news it'd be for a person in prison on death row. A person in prison on death row. Can you imagine somebody on death row and then all of a sudden somebody comes up and said, hey, listen, that guy on death row, I'll die in his place, let him go. Would you agree that probably the best news that guy ever got? Yes. That's the best news anybody could get. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's what the gospel is. Now, here's what these lepers said. They said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You see, they knew that the Syrian army was there, or was gone. They knew they were gone. They knew that God had provided deliverance for those people in that city. They knew that with the information that they had, these people in the city, when they hear it, would no longer be perishing. All they had to do was just go tell them, hey, the army's gone, and hey, there's lots of food over here. Come over and eat the food, and there's gold and raiment. Come get that too. That's all they had to do. They were saying, you know, we're enjoying the blessings that God has given us. We're seeing what God has provided for us, and we've got truth that can change the life of everybody in that city, and yet we're silent. And they said, we do not well. May I say this morning that we do not well when we're silent about the salvation that the Lord offers all men. We do not well when we keep the good tidings of the gospel to ourselves. Romans 10:15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What we need, folks, is a broken heart for people who are back in the city, for people in this city. We need broken hearts for those people who used to be, who are where we used to be. We need to have a broken heart for those people who do not have what we have as Christians, who do not know what we know as Christians, and who have never enjoyed the freedom that we have as Christians. We need to remember that everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody who has ever lived will either spend eternity in hell or they will spend eternity in heaven. And we know, as Christians, we know that only trusting in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary will save anybody. We know that when he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, we know that he's the only way a person could possibly be saved. And shame on us if we take that knowledge that we have and that information that we have and go and hide it where nobody else can find it and not tell those who are perishing. We need to tell everybody that we possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not well when we do not share the good news we have with others. And then the last thing, and I'll close with this, and that is we do not well when we keep our blessings to ourselves. Now these four lepers, they had hid the treasure and they had filled their bellies with food. And really, I mean, if you think about it, who could blame them? I mean, these guys were outcasts. They were not allowed to be with the people in the city. Society had rejected them. And they had, you know, they were a little bit bitter about that, no doubt. And it would have been very easy for these lepers to say things like, well, who cares about those people in the city? I mean, look how they treat us. They didn't even want us in their presence. And because of the disease that we have. So I can see how they could maybe try to rationalize keeping the gold and the silver and try to rationalize burying it somewhere or hiding it somewhere. and keeping it for themselves and not sharing it with those people in the city. No doubt, because of the way those lepers were treated, they were tempted to do wrong. They were tempted to not do the right thing. And yet they realized that they were doing wrong. You know, James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Those lepers knew the right thing to do was to tell the city about it, let the city know about the gold and the silver and the food, and let the city know that the Syrian army was no longer there. But at first, even though they knew that was the right thing to do, they didn't do that which was right. They went and hid it. And after they hid it, they would sit there for a while, and then finally they said, "Hey, wait a second. This is not right. It's just not right." The right thing for those lepers to do was to go back to the city and tell them all about the fact the Syrian army was no longer there. And may I remind you, as Christians, we've all received blessings from God, and God has provided all of us with many blessings in our lives as Christians. How many of you this morning can say, "You know, I really enjoy the joy that I have on the inside of knowing that I'm saved"? Isn't that a great thing? That's a blessing. How many of you can say, I really enjoy the peace that I have on the inside"? How many of you can say, "I really enjoy the grace that God gives me every day when I don't treat God the way I should treat him"? How many of you can say this morning, "I really enjoy the fact that God forgave me of my sins when I did not deserve to have my sins forgiven? I deserved to pay for them, because after all, the wage of sin is death. And it wasn't Jesus Christ who sinned, it was me. But yet he paid for them, and I'm forgiven of those sins." I'll tell you this, folks, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm forgiven my sins, because if I were not forgiven of my sins, I'd have to pay for them myself for all of eternity. Because, listen, that's how God's going to live for eternity. That's how long you'd have to pay for your sins. But I'm thankful that I'm forgiven of those sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, what we do sometimes as Christians, though, is these blessings that we've gotten as Christians, many times we like to hoard those blessings. We understand that God has given us grace, but we hoard that grace. We understand that God has given us forgiveness, but we hoard that forgiveness. And we take that grace and that forgiveness, and what we do is we try to bury it or hide it and keep it to ourselves. But folks, let me tell you something. If you're doing that, you do not well. Listen, those lepers, they understood it when they first buried it. Like, okay, you know, forget those people in the city. That stuff is mine. But then after a while, they say, "Wait a second, we do not well, because we need to share this stuff with those people." And may I tell you today that God has given you grace. He gives you grace every day. Every day that you mess up, God gives you grace. You know what that means? That doesn't mean you're supposed to hoard it and keep it to yourself. You know what you're supposed to do? Take that grace and give it to somebody else. Share it with somebody else. God has forgiven you. Are you going to not forgive the person that did you wrong? You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. Nobody has ever done you wrong as bad as you've done God wrong since you've been saved. That's a fact. That's for everybody in here. But yet God has forgiven you, and God has given you grace. And if you're one of those people today that says, "You know, Pastor, you just don't understand what this guy did to me. He did me wrong. He borrowed something and didn't give it back. He said something to me that hurt my feelings. He did this or he did that." And you say, "You know what? I just don't know that I can forgive him." You do not well. You know why? Because God gave you something. He gave you forgiveness. And how dare you take that forgiveness and hide it rather than giving it to somebody else and sharing it with somebody else? How dare you take that grace and hide it rather than giving somebody else grace, even though they don't deserve it? You didn't deserve it either. But you're supposed to take it and share it. And if you're here this morning and you have not shared what God has given you, hey, listen, he gave you the Holy Spirit of God. And when he gave you the Holy Spirit of God, he gave you the fruits of the Spirit as well. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those sorts of things. Why are you sharing it with other people? That's what we're supposed to be doing. So I ask you this morning, how are you doing? Are you one of those people that have forgotten where you come from before you were saved? Have you forgotten who you were? If you are, you do not well. Are you one today who said, Pastor, you know, I haven't been telling people the good news that I know. I have not been telling people what I know about how to be saved. I haven't been giving the knowledge that I have to the people of this city who are dying every day, who are lost and without hope, just like the city under siege. Are you like that leper who says, you know what, I'm not going to share that with them. I'm going to keep that to myself. You do not well if you do that. They're dying, and so are you. And somebody gave you the gospel. You need to go tell somebody else the gospel as well. Or maybe you're just not sharing what God has given you with somebody else. Are you doing well this morning? Let's stand.